Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We now come to the third in a series of lessons entitled, Why Persecutest Thou Me? Having observed in the first two parts the persecution received by Jesus during his earthly ministry, and then studying the persecution of the early church, we now concern ourselves with the church today and the persecution. Friend, Christianity is still unwanted and unpopular, and is the object of great enmity and hostility today. In some areas, the opposition is as intense as it was in the years of the first century. It seems that nothing is so generally rejected and despised as pure, simple, undenominational, biblical, true New Testament Christianity. A person can go forward preaching superstitions, spiritualism, denominationalism, oriental paganism, cults, modernism, humanism, Mohammedism, the new morality, communism, socialism, free love, almost anything and everything, and it will enjoy a following, and it will be allowed to pursue its goals without much opposition. But nothing excites hatred against people as much as the hatred toward those who will contend for thus saith the Lord. And our nation gloats over bashing Christianity today. And even though division exists among the numerous sects and denominational bodies, they will clash and they will war one against the other, blasting each other without mercy. They get together and form a common bond in their opposition to the presentation of what the Scriptures teach regarding the religion of Christ. In some cases, the opposition has become physical and violent. Why is it that some will contend that honesty and sincerity is sufficient regardless of what you believe? But they will not apply the same standard toward those of the churches of Christ. Somehow, members of the church are not to be included in this so-called tolerant spirit. Some will preach that it really does not matter what you believe in practice, but if you believe in practice what churches of Christ believe in practice, you're automatically shunned, and you become something unworthy of even being tolerated. Some contend that whatever you want to follow ought to be allowed, unless, of course, you want to follow nothing but the Scriptures. The doctrine of salvation by grace alone, or salvation by faith alone, it is applied to anyone except to those who are members of the churches of Christ. That so-called comforting doctrine does not fit them. Why is that? Some say it does not matter to which church you belong, just so long it is not the church of Christ. Now, friend, this is not an imagined condition. This does not reflect some kind of unwarranted martyr complex. It is simply a reality. In fact, the reality of it has caused many who were once in the church to leave the church and pursue a path to be more acceptable, or try to make the church more acceptable to those who reject the church because it stands for biblical truth. Some even surrender and compromise truth to get along with everybody. Christ and His church, in the past and in the present, are objects of opposition because of the inclusive, exclusive, distinctive nature and the character of Christ and His church. The Lord's church, you see, is not just another denomination among denominations. The Bible speaks of no denomination, nor offers an authority for the existence of a denomination that has, does, or ever shall exist. The faith of Jesus Christ is not just a system. It is the system. It is not just a church, but the church. Christ is not simply a Savior, but the only Savior. What is upheld is not something just nearest the truth, but what is the truth. There are those who want everything to be fuzzy and gray and without distinction. But the will of Christ, which the church is to uphold, 1 Timothy 3:15, does not fit in that mold. This thing of being nearest the truth is an absurdity. How can one know what may be nearest the truth unless they can know what the truth is? And if one knows what the truth is, why be content with something that is simply nearest the truth? Why not insist on the truth? Why be satisfied with following something other than the truth? What is wrong with contending for the faith once delivered to the saints, as we are taught to do in Jude verse 3? Now some reject the church because they are members of the church who fail to live up to the doctrine of Christ. And this is a criticism that too often is found to be true. But it is a criticism that could probably be leveled at any religious group of people. The cause of Christ is wounded and hindered by those who profess to be Christians, but who live more after the ways of the world than the way of Christ. But regardless of how inconsistent and or hypocritical some members of the church may be, and there's no defense for it, still that does not alter the truth of Christ in the slightest. The truth is not determined by what people may or may not do. The truth is according to what the Lord has revealed to be true in His Word, the Bible. It will stand even if all who profess to be Christians fall flat. The church today that is faithful to the Lord faces opposition and persecution because of its exclusive creed. That means that which is believed. The faith of the Christian is in the only begotten Son of God. His will is the standard, and that will is revealed in the inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative, and all-sufficient Scripture, as is taught in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And it is that will by which we shall be judged, John 12 and verse 48, and there is no allowance for diversion from it, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Now this contention, that's offensive to those who subscribe to their disciplines and their manuals, their prayer books, who have their catechisms, their confessionals, who go by the councils and the popes and the conferences and the conventions and their feelings and their ancestry. This offends those who want to also embrace the books of the Mormons, the Koran, the Watchtower, and other so-called latter-day revelations composed and compiled by uninspired human beings and which contain messages that are contradictory to the Bible. The plea for the Bible as the sole authority offends those who claim a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, who wish to be governed by their subjective and emotional feelings and other standards of men. There is no love in the hearts of those who want additional authorities for the contention that there is one authority, and that authority is found in the Bible. The Bible claims to be the Word of God, and it forbids anything other than the Word of God. Therefore, if it is the Word of God, this excludes all other measures and standards that men promote. And if it is not the Word of God, it propagates lies. It's not deserving of being followed at all. The Lord's church that is faithful to the truth, it opposes sectarianism and partyism, denominationalism, heathenism, hobbyism, humanism, all of those things that are so dominant in the religious world. The Lord's church pleads for unity, but unity based on the truth of the Scriptures, upholding the one body, preaching that there is one fold and one shepherd, as Jesus taught in John 10:16, and that demands that we follow the same rule, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Philippians 1 and verse 27. And while the Lord's church preaches that the gospel is for all, it also preaches that all can be saved, but only on the same terms. Mankind is not allowed to choose whatever he wishes with equal benefit. Biblical teaching and the demand that mankind observe biblical authority is just too narrow for many people, especially those who want to include what God has excluded and those who defend division and sectarianism and denominationalism and this new craze that is called unity in diversity. Some have falsely preached that they are Christians in all denominations. And I just kindly ask you, friend, how can that be when most denominations do not even teach God's plan of salvation? It is not sectarian to stand for one church and one plan of salvation, the sole authority of the Bible, and the other distinctive points of truth that the church is obligated to uphold. Some evidently have become weary of standing for the truth and being desirous of being more acceptable to the nations round about that do not follow the truth. They have decided to let down the truth and its claims in order to leave the lines that God has drawn in a mushy, fuzzy, unclear haze. If one is determined to stand for the Scriptures and what the Scriptures teach, yes, he becomes the target of the divided, chaotic, and confused religious world, and even those in the church who have compromised and weakened before that kind of persecution. Nothing brings people in religion together like banding together to defend the ways of men against the ways of God. Too many are like the Jewish sects of the first century, who had a zeal but not according to knowledge, intent on their own way in preference to God's way, Romans 10:1-3. How they could battle each other, but they could get together to battle Christ. The church that is faithful to God will continue to uphold the gospel, even as it contradicts and violates the theological theories, the philosophies, the worldly practices, the sinful manners of the twisted religious world, and the anti-God people around us. It is a noteworthy comment that was written many years ago by an older gospel preacher. His name was Benjamin Franklin, not the statesman of our country, but a gospel preacher. And he recorded in a book entitled The Gospel Preacher, Volume 2, page 291. The Church of the Living God does not stand on a succession of popes and clergy and ordinances and officers of churches, but on the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the prophets, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, above all, through all, and in all, one Lord Jesus Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of deity substantially, the resurrection and the life, head over all things to the church, blessed forever and ever, one eternal Spirit, the Spirit of all truth and all revelation, one book, the Bible, one gospel, the gospel of Christ, and the teaching of Christ and the apostles, in one word, on having everything the first church had, being everything it was, and hoping for all that was promised to it. If a church today believes the same as the first church did, practices the same, hopes for the same, believes it, has the same commands and obeys them, has the same promises and hope for them, it has the same faith and obedience and hope, it has precisely the same book and follows it, unquestionably, it is the same church. Well, such was the statement of Benjamin Franklin of years ago. Now, friend, we realize this is offensive to those who want and seek something other than this. Various methods are used to suppress the efforts to proclaim the everlasting truth, often without any fair inquiry, but from the prejudice and self-will, there's opposition, rejection, dismissal, persecution, and humiliation directed toward one and all who hold these truths to be without biblical refutation. Paul once asked his brethren of Galatia, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" If Jesus asked that question, the answer would be a resounding yes. If the early church asked that question, the answer would be yes. And if the present faithful in the church asked that question again, the answer is yes. Men love darkness rather than light, John 3:19-21. And those who follow the light will suffer because of it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Nonetheless, our hope is stayed in Christ. Christ said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:10-12. And we close with the statement of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.